Hey, what's up, guys? This is Maki from Lacuna Core. You're listening WWHFM 2015. Oh no, it's the fucking English podcast for the fucking Matthew.
Hi, everyone. This is Mike.
Hey, 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 this is Dave.
Hey, hey, this is Lee.
And hi, everyone. This is Matt, and you are listening to the Empty Spiral podcast, the official podcast of the Lacuna Core community. It is sometime in 2025. I'm no longer committing to dates other than years. All right, I'll say it's July, but it's near the end. That's as far as I'm going. And we have with us a special guest, which we will talk about in a little while. I'm going to start with you, Lee. Welcome, Lee, to the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing great today. I'm super excited to be here with you guys. Ready to talk about Lacuna Coil. I love them so much, as you may know. Been a fan for about 20 years now.
Cool.
So
when you say you're okay, what are you up to? What is the end of July to you? What's work doing, or what are you doing to chill out?
Well, the chilling out part really isn't happening too much. I'm crazy busy. Yeah, I'm moving jobs, so I'm changing locations.
Okay.
So there's a lot of, you know, throwing things in boxes and trying to, you know, get everything scheduled for, you know, a U-Haul and taking care of my parents as well. My dad, he has Parkinson's. My mom just had surgery. So, I mean, there's been a lot going on.
You've got a lot going on. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been trying to find a local support group around my parents too, as well, during the move, to make sure that they're okay.
Yeah.
So a lot of family time and just, you know, work's going great. It's going to be weird going into another restaurant where I really don't know anyone. So
you work in restaurants? You work in the food?
Yes. I'm a restaurant manager. I've been a GM for 4 of them.
Okay.
So, I mean, I love it.
So where's home for you?
Yeah.
What part of the states are you from?
What is it?
What's home for you? Where are you? Where are you dialing in from?
I'm from Alabama, born and raised. So
yeah. And you're in Alabama at the moment?
Yes. You might could tell from the accent a little bit. It's not really thick, but, you know, I was talking to Dave earlier. I was like, I think I can understand all you guys pretty well. I mean, it's all English, but sometimes I hope you can understand me, because sometimes I can sound like cornbread.
We can understand you fine. I've been led to believe over the last 20 plus years that my accent is shit and impossible to understand. So.
I can understand you great.
Oh, I've always denied that statement about my accent, by the way, but I appreciate that you validating me by saying you can understand.
you do. All right, I appreciate you, man.
Thank you. Dave, how have you been?
You know what?
No. If you're going to talk about because fucking pumpkins...
No. Pumpkins, they are growing well, and we'll leave it at that.
Okay, good.
No, I'm a gentleman of a certain age, and to be...
My God, you made that sound weird.
I am thoroughly enjoying my midlife crisis.
Are you having a crisis?
Well, I think you can probably call it that, yeah. One of the things I've been doing recently, I love projects of all kinds. I always have. But at the moment,
your entire life is a series of projects.
It is. It pretty much is.
Usually bigger and crazier and more surreal than the previous projects, from what I can understand.
Well, I do try. I think my brain sort of does get carried away sometimes.
So where have you projected yourself into right now, then?
Well, at the moment, I'm doing a bit of a deep dive into childhood. So I've been looking, revisiting all favourite toys from back in the day. Because I've sort of grown up in the 80s. So, you know, the proper classics. Apart from Lego, that aside, that's obviously a given.
That's a lifelong thing. Yeah, that's fine.
But, you know, when we used to have... in my case, it was things like Transformers, G.I. Joe, that kind of stuff. So I've been revisiting that. I've been re-buying a couple for some vintage toy shops that are fairly local to me.
Right.
But I've also just written a book, which I'm going to self-publish on Amazon just for the lols.
Is it a book about toys?
About toys, about my childhood with toys. So,
oh, yeah, that sounds almost interesting.
Yeah. So, yes, midlife crisis, and it's brilliant.
Wow, okay. How big is this book? Are we talking like a picture?
Oh, it's not huge. It's not huge. It's what, about 30,000 words?
Wow, I am quite intrigued, actually. Yeah. All right. Before we do anything else, what's your favourite toy? You're not allowed to say Lego.
Apart from Lego. I would say the one that means most to me would be the Fisher Price Adventure People. You might have to Google it.
I probably will. Okay. Fisher Price Adventure People. That wasn't the one that came with the big plastic castle, was it?
No.
No. Okay. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
All right, cool. Well, that was a moment, wasn't it? We both shared. All right, Mike, how have you been?
Good. I've just done another regular commute to Europe, to Italy.
To Italy, yeah.
Yes, I did spend the week before I went, I spent my lunchtime at work counting the days over the last 2 years, because I have to work out that for...
tax purposes?
No, for Schengen visiting purposes, because you can only
Schengen. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think you mentioned
that last time. 90 days in 180. So
half the time then.
Yeah, yeah, because you become a tax resident after 183 days in this country. So
are you reaching the limit?
Well,
are you going to have to report yourself?
I've done 195 in 2 years, but it's a rolling calendar, so it drops off. So I'm in the process of applying for an Irish passport as well. So
why an Irish passport?
Because then I can work, live, retire, do whatever in the Schengen area. I'm not restricted.
Oh, so like gotcha.
Yeah, yeah, I'll stop using an English one. And
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I might have to investigate that at some stage.
Yeah, yeah. It's parents or grandparents if you've got anyone Irish.
I'm sure I can make someone up. Okay. What's your favourite toy?
What's my favourite toy?
Dave started it by writing a book.
I would say WWF Hasbro figures from the early 90s, I guess.
I know Hasbro figures. They're a manufacturer of toys. I'm sure they've done quite a few.
They were a very big producer of wrestling action figures from
WWF, WCW.
From the late 80s to probably the mid 90s. So...
Topical, Hulk Hogan died this week.
Yes. Very sad.
Yeah. Mm. Here we go. So you like, and Lee, I now need to ask you, of course, what your favorite toy was growing up.
I don't know if I want to answer that question.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm kidding.
All right, fair enough. Let's move on.
No, well, I mean, I have several. This little dude's pretty cool.
That looks like an alien figure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's
cool. Yeah. I have a few guitars here and there that I'm picking grand on a little bit. I used to do it a lot more, but not so much as I used to.
Okay. The alien's pretty toys book. I got one up on the shelf over there in my room, which I think I got while I was in the States. I think it was in a, what's the big store that sells everything in America? Walmart. So I was in a Walmart. Yeah. Okay. I think Mike might have even been there. It was like last day and I was running around buying sweets for the family and I saw this really cool alien toy. And it's on the shelf over there. So yeah. But that's not my favorite toy. I think this is a really hard subject. I wish I hadn't brought it up now because it's left me on the spot. I would say my favorite toy growing up was I liked Star Wars figures from Mattel. Mm-hmm. You know, ones. I'm sure they're really collectible now, but I remember swapping my Millennium Falcon for something not worth a Millennium Falcon when I was about 12 and regretting that forever at school. And I think I've still got like a Luke Skywalker and a Darth Vader rattling around in my attic somewhere.
That's probably a good pension fund now.
Well, maybe, but they weren't very good, Nick. But they were like the ones from the early the 80s, I guess that's when they would have been the 80s. They had those really weird cloaks that were just like a kind of a vague triangle of plastic with holes in it that you stuck the arms in. And it was just like this, you could either have the cloak up where it created a kind of an arc over their back, or you could fold it down like casual, like I
And to get them on, you had to stick the figure's arms up.
Stick the figure's arm.
In a certain way to thread them on.
And they had the lightsabers that would just sort of come out of their hand, like Wolverine's claws. Yeah, yeah. And there was a little kind of tassel on the end. I never really worked out why. There was a little tiny thin bit. And you just Anyway, we digress. This is not a Vintage Toys podcast or a Middle-Aged Man's Crisis podcast, as much as Dave might want to be. This is a Lacuna Core podcast. And you know, Lee's already said she's here to talk about her favourite thing. That is not action figures. That's second best, right, Lee?
Until we get Lacuna Core action figures.
I still haven't painted my miniatures yet, so I'm still working on that. Anyway. So a little bit briefly on news. Lacuna Core are still, they've come out of the back of their main US tour and they're doing some of the festivals and so forth. Just finished off Greece. Right, well, not the entirety of Greece, but I did a festival in Greece. And is it today, Mike? You said that they're...
Yeah.
So they're in...
Zagreb, I think.
Zagreb.
Zagreb, isn't it, with Kajira?
Is that with Kajira? Yeah, I was going to say that was Kajira. Yeah. I saw the signs yesterday. Okay, so that's they're there today doing a few gigs around. I know in the UK they're at Bloodstock at the end of next week.
Yeah.
In a place that I'm not, which is really annoying.
Boo.
Yeah, I'm coming back from holiday, so I will be like in Bath and then driving home and not being in Bloodstock, so I'm not even going to see them, which is like really bad. Like, I feel like I've let the side down completely. I'm not even at Bloodstock when Lacuna Core are there. I'm pretty sure they're not going to speak to me ever again, which is, oh my God. So that's kind of it news-wise, I think. We have seen Cree a bit more on Twitch recently, haven't we? We've seen her a few times. She's appearing back online.
Yeah, she's popping up in between the festival dates.
And if there's anybody listening that hasn't joined the Snailians on Twitch, then you absolutely should do. The more you're involved in that, the more likely you'll get involved in one of those harebrained birthday schemes.
Which is actually currently going on at the
moment. There we go. I knew it would be. So what is it now? Like a 3-movie trilogy? I don't know. What are we up to?
You know what? You're dangerously close.
Oh, my God. No way.
Dave, you're a mad genius. I swear. Some of the things that you come up with, I'm like, where does he get this stuff from?
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
It's pretty cool.
I agree with you. Wow. Okay.
So Paul, Andy and Mackie are going to be on the receiving end of our wonderful ideas. So.
I feel like that was the only place you could go from last time would be, something movie related. Anyway. Let's introduce Lee. Lee, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Friend and fellow coiler for a long time. Okay. And can't believe it's taken us this long to get a chance to speak to you in our crazy little zone of whatever it is we talk about. So anyway, tell us a little bit about yourself with the obvious first question of how did you get into Lacuna Core?
Well, it was 2005. One of my buddies, he had a poster of Cree on his wall. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who is that? He was like, oh, she's this awesome singer of this band. I was like, I need to hear it. I need to hear it right now. And he had Caramelize and Swamp started playing. And I was like, this is badass. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to hear all of it. I need to hear everything they've done before it. And it just started from there. Karma Code came out next.
Yep.
And I don't know what it was, but like Tightrope really grabbed onto me as well.
Yep.
And it was on Caramelize, right?
Tightrope and Caramelize,
It seemed like that was almost a bridge to Karma Code. To me, it kind of felt like it had a lot of the same vibes to it.
I can see that for sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, after then, I was definitely hooked then.
What kind of music were you into before, by comparison?
Well, let's see. Some of the first rock music that I'd listened to, Stone Temple Pilots, White Zombie. They were a couple of the rock bands. Def Leppard, love Def Leppard.
Of course, why wouldn't you? Yeah.
Hysteria, greatest album ever.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Really is good.
Yeah. Classic. Classic. Let's see. What else? And then Evanescence came out, and I was like, oh, there's a chick singer. And I was like, okay, this is great. This is cool.
I was going to ask you if there were any other female kind of vocalists that you were into.
Yeah, Kitty.
Kitty?
Love Kitty. Yes, love Kitty. And I started playing in a band when I was 18. I was the bass player with a bunch of dudes. And they were like, why don't you sing something? And I'm like, I am okay over here in the corner playing my strings, holding down the low end, whatnot. And they were like, no, you're doing it. And I was like, well, okay. So we covered Charlotte, and I actually got to meet Kitty not too long ago.
Wow, cool.
And they were really cool. Yeah. And then like a couple of days later, I was listening to Octane on Sirius XM. And Jose, he was interviewing Kitty, and Morgan was on there, and she actually brought up Lacuna Coil.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, she did. And she was like talking about how she respected them, how much they could reinvent themselves and still have the same roots,
Very much.
still the
Lots of
same.
genres.
Yeah. And love that. Let's see, what else? Who else? I mean, that's basically it. Like I said, I fell in love with Lacuna Coil, and they take up a lot of my listening time.
That's cool.
Like,
That's
yeah,
cool.
like at least 80%, I would say.
Yeah, there's like a small print which you probably put at the bottom of something like other bands do exist. But your mileage may vary or something like that, which is
I mean, they've been a rock for me too. I mean, you get in certain headspaces in life. Sometimes, like I battle depression, and we all do at some point.
For sure.
I have to fight anxiety all the time, but I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna listen to this song. I'm gonna go listen to Lacuna Coil, and it changes me.
There's a song for
I
every
mean,
mood, isn't there?
yes, every mood. I mean, ballads. I mean, and they can just bring the heavy,
It's like Lacuna Coil have shaped a song for every hole that we've poured ourselves into to help us get out of it,
Yes.
haven't they? They've found
Yes.
that. So, do you have a favorite album of theirs,
Oh,
or a favorite song? You said Swamped, and then you said Tightrope. You heard them first by listening to Swamped, and obviously Chrome and I discovered Tightrope. Then you got into Karma Code a year later. So, give us your thoughts. Well, if you had to pick a song, what would it be?
Let's see. Well, still sticking to Karma Code. Fragile was a good one.
Amazing,
To the Edge. I'm not sure. I think I remember seeing a video on Download for To the Edge, a
quite
long
possibly.
time ago. I forgot what year it was, but it was a long time ago. They were wearing the white shirts and
The black
ties.
tie,
Would've been
yeah.
2006.
2006. That would have been the Karma Code tour for sure.
And like Christina goes out to the end of the platform and just holds that close to the edge, just like forever, and then they just kick in, and it's just like, brah.
I was there.
So,
I was there. I'd run through in the middle of a mosh pit of the previous band to get right to the front. It was my most daring act in that. Actually, my most daring act was avoiding a bottle of piss being thrown in the air. But hey, that's download. But yeah, I was there for that. And that was when also there was like, 60,000 people, probably 45 out, 40,000 people or so at the time, singing Enjoy the Silence for the first time at Download.
What year was that?
I think that was 2006. I think
Yeah, it
when
was.
the yeah, I think so. A long time ago.
So I had just found them in 2005. So when I had seen what, they were capable of, I was like, this band is freaking amazing. I mean, their music alone, mixed with the duality of the vocals. It's beautiful. I mean, to have the harmony, and then Andy's growling, it's amazing. Let's see, what else? And after Karma Code was, what
Off
was
the
after
net.
Karma Load?
Oh, Shallow Life.
Shallow Life.
Shallow Life.
I liked Wide Awake. It was beautiful.
Awesome song, especially when she used to take it, solo it in on tour. Yeah, did that a few times, right? With the mic
It's
stand,
gorgeous. That was probably one of the highlights to me off of that album. Let's see. And then
There's no test. You don't need to. You don't have to name every album and then.
No, I'm just trying. There's so many good songs off
Dark
so
Adrenaline.
Many albums.
What's off of and Dark Adrenaline then that you like, if you remember?
Dark
that?
Adrenaline. Let's see. Trip to Darkness.
It's a good opener. One of the best
Trip
ones.
Trip to Darkness. You know, speaking of duality.
Used and abused by the Empty Spiral podcast for the last 15 years.
Yeah, right.
Whatever it is, 12, I'd say. Yeah, Trip to Darkness, we love that.
That was a cool video, too.
Mm-hmm. I could never go over the white eyelashes, so they always freak me out a bit. I've got to lie.
Kind of like caterpillars, in a
yeah,
way.
Yeah, that's what it was. They were like really, really thick and bushy, and you're like... It's like
they
yeah,
looked uncomfortable.
They looked like they could attack you, sort of thing, if you were uh-huh. if you stood too close to those things.
That might have been part
really
of the point, though.
Really strong lily to keep them up.
Absolutely. I can't imagine the amount of glue that must have been there. I'd have been falling asleep with such weight. Not that I've ever worn fake eyelashes, so I don't really know what I'm dealing with. I'm definitely out of my depth here when it comes to
something. Yeah, I've done it like twice, and I it's too much. It's too much. It's like you blink, and it's a challenge.
Okay,
I can't.
So are we now basically tracking all the way through every single album while you're going to tell us what your favorite?
I mean, that's what I feel like. You know,
it wasn't intentional.
Because they're
but
so different.
We can
they're
do
so
that.
Different.
We can do that. If all right, so you touched on Broken Ground Halo. So what about Broken Ground Halo?
Okay, so that one to me was huge. I actually had a car wreck in 2013.
Okay.
And it was around the time that the album was released.
Yeah.
And it was kind of weird because like I actually broke my skull.
Okay. Yeah. That's a big thing.
I'd actually broken my skull, and you know, Die and Rise was on that, yeah.
Yes. That's right, isn't it? Die and Rise. Yeah, broken right out. Yeah. Because you had zombies and victims and hostage to the light and Die and Rise. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, so it really helped me get through that. You know, I fractured my spine in two spots and basically had to learn to use the right side of my face again. It was a lot. Wow. It was a lot to go through. And, you know, I talked to Christina about it, too. And she actually reached out to me as well. And she's so sweet.
Isn't she? I was going to say,
she is
why is it
so
no surprise
sweet.
To anybody that Christina reached out to you?
She is so sweet.
So I was going to say... and it's certainly feels like a naive question now. Have you ever met the band? All right. And
have I met the band?
When did you first meet the band? How about that? That's a better question.
It was, let's see, 2012 was actually the first time.
Okay. And how many shows had you been to before you met the band? Or did you listen to the music but weren't going to shows? So, you know, when was your first show? Was it?
Well, the first show I had went to New Orleans. And it was a little after Hurricane Katrina had happened.
Okay.
So it was for a Music as a Weapon tour. And it like I said, it was right after Katrina. So it was really, they were having a hard time trying to form the lines and everything. So I caught the ass end of R-Truth.
Right. So you were right.
So
were you going there last kind of thing?
Or? Yeah. Okay. I was so mad. So I was like, okay, from here on out.
Sorry, tell me this wasn't when they were ending with R-Truth.
Like they were ending with R-Truth.
So in there at the last song. Or thereabouts.
Yes.
Oh my God, that's like, isn't it? Can you imagine going to see the Kuna Call and only getting in there just as there's that final, everybody leaves.
It took like an hour and a half to get in, and it was after the show had already started.
Wow.
You know, so
that was quite similar. It wasn't quite as bad, but I did turn up about halfway through a show, and that was on the Karma Kai tour, when they played Birmingham, and we couldn't get, basically didn't know where the car parking was, so we're circling around the city for about an hour longer than we should have been.
Oh, God.
And by the time I got in, they were like halfway through 119, I think it was, and I was so mad with everything. I was just like furious, trying to enjoy the show but knowing you'd missed a huge chunk of it. I threw the toys out the pram.
Vintage toys or just regular ones?
Okay, that was I shouldn't have brought that.
You walked into that, mate.
Yeah. I got mad at the whole situation, and so I just bought tickets to Nottingham the next day and went again and made sure I got there very, very early.
You owe it to yourself, really.
But yeah, knowing you've missed a chunk of that show,
yeah,
and for you for that pretty much the whole thing, that's got to stink.
Yeah, it sucked. It sucked pretty bad. But like I said, you know, after that happened, I was like, I'm going to go to as many as I can. So the first time I actually saw a whole show was in Jackson, Mississippi.
Okay.
They were at a club called Club Fire. They were playing with Five Finger Death Punch.
Okay.
And I actually ran into a guy that I had played music with before he was working there. And another guy that helped manage a band that I used to play with as well. And I was like, I heard somebody say Leanne. And I was like, who the fuck's calling me? Excuse my language. Who's calling me Leanne? Nobody knows me out here. He's like, well, hey, you know, I was like, what are you doing? He was carrying beer onto Lacuna Coil's bus. I was like, well, this is a coincidence. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of those happen as well. But yeah, I was super stoked to see him for that first time and not miss it. So,
and when did you first meet him?
I met him in 2012 at the Masquerade. I think I've seen him at the Masquerade like it 9 times, maybe 8 or 9 times.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was in 2012, and that was the first time I actually got to talk to all of them.
So, I guess that would have been Dark Adrenaline Tour, or was it? It feels like it would have been about Dark Adrenaline Tour or the back end of a Shallow Life. Now, I'm guessing it must have been Dark Adrenaline Tour. Was it the end of the year or the beginning of the year?
It was in May.
Okay.
It was in May. They were wearing, it was Dark Adrenaline because they had the black outfits with the red cross on the back of it.
Yeah, Dark Adrenaline stuff. Cool. And yeah. You met the whole band went there. Was it like a meet and greet, or were you hanging around by the bus, or, you know?
I'd actually met a few of the guys in Mississippi first. I had met Pizza.
Yep.
Mouse, Chris.
Yep.
Andy. Christina, I think, went to the bus.
Just that.
But yeah, that was the first time I actually talked to the guys. But, you know, at the Masquerade, I'd spoke to Christina for the first time. And we had actually spoken on MySpace before, Christina and I had.
MySpace.
And,
oh,
yeah,
MySpace.
Good old MySpace.
Please, you're triggering me. I used to help her with MySpace years ago. She'd send me random code going, I can't get my MySpace page broken. Or I've broken my page again. I'd have to log in and try to work out what she'd done. God, what a travesty MySpace was.
Yeah, it really was.
Falling
it really was, but I was happy to see her
and all kinds of bullshit. There we go. So, yeah, MySpace. That's one thing that I'm glad we don't have to deal with anymore, because it was just the most stressful thing. But it was a good platform to engage with people. And I know musicians used it far longer than the rest of us, right? I mean, the rest of the world had given up on MySpace, and there were still new bands using it all those years ago. Wow. But let's talk about music. So talk to us about the events, okay, of December, was it 15, 16, something around that, 2016, at Masquerade, House of Shame.
Oh, yeah, that was a...
Go ahead. So
that was a big one.
That was a big one. Yeah. So tell us what happened. Go ahead. This is I want to hear this in full.
Well, I had I was just ready to go with the show, watch Lacuna Coil, and it was the last show of that tour.
Okay.
You know, that was the last one. And at the Masquerade they had three layers. It's a different building now. They actually had to close the old Masquerade and then build a new one.
Right.
Or they moved to a new one. But anyway, they have a heaven, hell, and purgatory, right? So there's a lot of stairs there. Andy had fallen and hurt his shoulder.
Right.
So he didn't play that whole show. He had to go to the ER, spent, I think, like 6 hours in the ER or something. But, you know, he was okay. But they were like, we cannot not play the show.
Mm.
So, you know, Christina, she sang, you know, some other songs like Die and Rise. That was different. So she did his parts,
Yeah.
but all of a sudden they were like, okay, we're gonna do House of Shame, but I need 2, 3 volunteers. Somebody come up here, help me do this. I
Give me
can't
the rules
do.
because it's very, it's that
Yeah.
distinctive, right? Right.
Yeah. She was like, I'm just not gonna do it. Well, I was 5 Yuenglings
Okay.
in, and I was with yeah. And I was with one of my buddies, and we were like, well, let's get all like dressed up. So we had gotten like scrub shirts, and we'd put like Lacuna Coil Inmate on it, and all that good stuff. So
Awesome.
but anyway, I was like, well, I'll do it. I'll go up there and do it. And I got up there, and
It was just
I
you,
thought
wasn't
there
it?
was,
Believe she asked for two or three people,
yes.
but it was just you got up there.
Yes, and I was like, oh, only me. No, because like I said, I've always been a bass player. I could play a little guitar. I've sung a little bit, but I don't do any of that. So I was like, well, let me try to pull something out of my ass here and see what happens. And Christina was like, you know what? Everything's gonna be fine. They had Andy's jacket up there.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm gonna pet this jacket, and I'm gonna try to invoke all of
Power of
Andy's energy. I
Mango
am going
Effort,
to
yeah.
pull all of his energy and try to do him proud and try to do the band proud, because it's kind of like a dream,
Well,
and
yeah,
it
for
still
sure. Or a
feels like
nightmare,
a
depending on who you
yeah.
are.
Well, I was scared it was going to be a nightmare at first. I
Yeah.
was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. That's the only thing that was going through my head, like, what the hell is about to happen?
And you pulled it off.
I think I did okay.
So, I mean, obviously, not obviously, but you do the growling, right? The initial first few bars of, but then you go into the first, the first verse, and you're basically doing the whole song. I was kind of, when I first saw it, I was blown away for two reasons. One, that you did it. And two, the band just let you just do it. They wouldn't really give any backing vocals, and you're just like, yeah, go on, do it. If you fuck this up, that's on you. That's how it kind of looked like. And so, did you do the whole song? You sang the whole song? Now, I've listened to Lacuna Coil thousands of times, and I can barely remember the chorus to Heaven's a Light, right? So how did you step up onto for me, I mean this honestly, one of the things that blows me away about musicians is that they can remember the lines to their songs, all right? I'm shit at lyrics, genuinely shit at lyrics, okay? I could have a sheet music in front of me and I'd still get it wrong, all right? And you volunteered, went up there and sang the chorus, basically Andy's vocals, all of that song.
And it was a new song
It
as
was a
well.
new song. It wasn't even a song that you put by then, because it was like the end of the year and it'd been around. You probably could find the lyrics, but if I don't think that many people, even today, go, new album, I'm going to sit and learn the lyrics. Are you one of those people that learn the lyrics, or it's just you just knew what you needed to do? Where did that power, superpower come from, Lee? Because it is a superpower.
I don't think it's a superpower, but I just listened to that song over and over, and it was one of my favorite ones
Because
off of that album.
it was one they released before the album came out, wasn't it? Was it one like a single? So you, and it's not a complex, there's not a lot to sing, is there? But even so, you knocked it out of the park, girl. It's amazing.
Thank you so much. Yeah, like I said, I was so nervous, and the whole time, like I said, it felt really surreal. And to think about it still to this day,
Yeah.
it seems surreal. But
Nine years
thank you.
later.
I appreciate it. Yeah,
And
it was something.
it's never happened again, has it?
I don't remember it ever happening again.
Like,
It has,
I don't
it's
know.
absolutely a completely unique
It's a
event.
unique event
It's
as far as I
utter,
can
utter
tell.
legend.
Yeah. So it's more than 5 minutes. It's on YouTube. We'll post a link and we'll post it
Yeah.
to it. So people can see
Okay.
you up on stage back in 2016. Now, I'm going to ask a question. So
What's up?
I do think you've got a little bit of a step up here already, because you said that you're a
Well,
singer and you're playing a band. So, have
I
you been
had.
on stage before playing music to a crowd of people?
Oh, yeah.
So there was at least one aspect to this where you could say, I'm not terrified because I'm used to playing in front of people, even if you were playing your bass guitar. But for us being true. Mortals that have never been in a band, it'd be a double level of terror, wouldn't it? Because not only are you, do you know what I mean? Like, I've now got to present myself in front of lots of people that I'm not used to. So how that must have been some level of comfort, right?
Yeah, it was. But I mean, it had been years. Like I said, I started playing with a band in 2000. I just turned 18. So, you know, but not with Lacuna Coil. You know? What the hell? I mean, it, like I said, it still blows me away. But sometimes, you know, the lights can be so bright, you really don't
see anything.
See a lot of the people, except for just like the few up front.
Yeah.
You know, so I was in a zone at that point. I was like, well, here I am. I've got to do it now. And I've got it. There's no backing out.
You got nothing. You're gonna have to get out there and do your thing.
I was like, I'll do it.
I honestly think it's amazing. And as Dave said, it was a unique event. No one's ever done it. To my knowledge, no one's ever done it before. And again, to my knowledge, no one's ever done it since. So one time, full on audience participation for an entire song, and it was you. That's just crazy. Yeah. Good job.
It is. Thank you so much.
Good job.
I think of Thank all so the Lacuna Coil stories, that is the one I am so, so jealous of.
I am jealous. They won't get me out there. I'll be like,
maybe one day it'll happen, Dave. Who knows? I mean, you know, maybe they'll just invite you up here.
They're about to rock up and sing Entwined. They ask you, could you come and join us? Would you do it?
Yeah.
Is it?
I think the fear of not knowing lyrics might just render you suddenly.
I'd want an auto cue. Do you know what I mean?
Where's that?
I generally think that was what stopped me, actually, not knowing, especially if they like with House of Shame. It's not like it's like karaoke. I was singing along with some vocals.
That's it. Or perhaps the only one can get away with it.
So if you don't see this silence, it's like, I'll be like, I forgot the lyrics. Yeah.
Is it going to be the lyrics, or is it going to be stage fright as well? Because I'm only saying stage fright because George Michael was famous for amongst all the things in the world.
I wonder where you're going here.
He never used to tour a lot because he had terrible stage fright. So that's why his solo tours were very few and far between, because he didn't like to go in front of an audience and sing.
Yeah, I guess you don't know until you do it, do you?
No, that's the funny kind of thing, actually, because I'm sure you know, I'm very, very, very shy, very, very, very anxious in that kind of situation. But I have been, not a real band, but I have been in a band historically as well. And so I wasn't
an imaginary band
a musician or anything like that. There's a few local gigs.
Okay.
But you've played local gigs, haven't you, in front of an audience?
So. Yes. Yeah, that's it. And what I was going to say was, I found that it's just a different side of the personality that kicks in. So ordinarily, if it was me, I would never, ever go on stage because I don't want people looking at me. I wouldn't be able to get anything out. It would just be silence and this startled bunny in the headlights and freeze. But if you know you're doing it, the other side of you, the performer side, the part that wants to be the musician or the actor or whatever the situation is, it does take over and you almost go on automatic pilot. It's that personality, that side of your personality.
Oh, cool.
And it carries you through. And I don't know whether that's part, it's like when you get the adrenaline kick.
It's very common, I think, isn't it? Because Kiss, one of the things with Kiss is the era with the makeup versus the era without the makeup. And I think that's a similar thing that when you're wearing makeup or...
They do say that. That's one of the reasons that Lacuna Coil still wear makeup. Mackie says it just helps get on stage. It's like part of the switch to that personality, right?
Yeah.
Hair, sleep tokens, sleep knot, you know...
Yeah. Yeah, it must be a very common thing, and it'd be interesting to see how they perceive it, whether all bands are like that, whether you have a stage persona and a non-stage persona, which I guess they do.
So what we've established that if Dave had to sing Christina's vocals for Entwined, he would get up and do it.
Well, if you had a wig on, probably, yeah.
Yes.
No. Some red stripes, need a wig. Red stripes on the face and stuff.
Yeah.
Wig, you'd be there. Okay. I'm thinking wide awake. I could totally see you hugging the microphone and singing wide awake.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing that in the UK tour.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No one else will.
There's a room clearer right there. But we digress. So, Lee, how do you, once you've done that, let's go back to that moment back in Masquerade 2016. When the song was over, what did you do?
Came back to reality for a second.
Okay.
Then that went away again. And then I was just trying to be like, okay, did that just happen?
Yeah. Did you go back into the crowd like where you were before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What was the reception from the people? Was there like
around me?
Did they separate like kind of like the breaking of the Red Sea to get you get back to your body? They were like, we're not worthy. Like our Wayne's World or some shit like that.
It was a lot of high fives and like, whoa, you know, just like it was a party. It was a complete party. Yeah. Amazing.
That's so cool. As you say, you still remember it today. And of course you do, because it's just one of those moments that anybody who's seen it or heard about it will want to check it out on YouTube and go, how cool is that? And how many other bands would do that?
Really? Right.
Yeah. How many other bands would go, someone come up here?
They'd probably charge you for the privilege, wouldn't they?
Yeah, probably. Well, if it was one of those things that you could step up and go, I want. Imagine it if you could pay like some kind of pledge.
Yeah.
I'll pay $500 to sing a song with the band, you know.
Yeah.
And they'll let you do it. Can you imagine that? But yeah. Wow. Okay. Anyway, we are going to move on, but I feel like we could talk about that event forever because it is just so epic. As I said before, we will put a link in the show notes.
Is that your favorite Lacuna Coil show, or is there one that's even better than that moment for you?
That's a good question.
Well, I mean, it again, you know, just like trying to figure out, you know, one of my favorite songs by them, it's in a different category. You know what I mean? It definitely does hold its place because of the obvious. But yeah, you know, actually, probably. It probably is my favorite show.
Yeah.
You know, I take that back because 119 was amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's Calm Alive. Mm-hmm. So I mean,
119 in New York, yeah, in the Gramercy. Is that right? Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, I was in London.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, of course you were. Yeah, you were in London and you were in America. Yes, of course.
I had to go.
There were so many of us there. It was amazing, wasn't it? It was.
Yes, I get to a point too where I'm like, okay, this is happening. I have no other choice. Do you feel like that? Do you guys feel like that? It's like.
Yeah,
you're automatically drawn. You have to go.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course.
There's no second guessing buying tickets. You're going.
Yes,
it's like part of your duty as
the
119
show. It was a duty. You know? There was like there was no doubt. For God's sake, it was 20 minutes up the road from me, so I had no excuses anyway.
Yeah.
It was kind of a bit of an expectation that I was going to show up for that one, but not like I ever would. Interestingly enough, okay, and I'm delving into a different aspect of it. At the time, I was a senior manager in an organization, and that organization was going under a certain amount of change. And just to say that that week was the day that the senior management team had to have, shall we say, difficult conversations with staff. I'm sure you can imagine the kind of things I'm talking about here, you know, consultation, all that kind of stuff. And I'd already put my time off for that week because I was taking the whole week off for lots of reasons. But the most important one was the 119 show. And the HR, the human resources department of the organization I was working for, asked me to come in. And I was like, no, but you've got to come in because you've got to talk, you know, you've got to give these difficult messages to people. I would give these difficult messages to people any other time, but I'm not coming on the 19th of January. You're not going to make me. And in the end, they had to hand that over to one of my colleagues and they had to have the difficult conversations. So I was at the 119 show. But all the time I was in the pub and beforehand, I was sort of checking my phone to see what was going on at work. So it's kind of memorable for a couple of reasons, right? And one of them's not a good reason, but the other one is like, it really was a pilgrimage for so many people. That show, I think, on the 19th of January 2018. It was amazing. And Come Alive had the same thing. In fact, I'd say probably bigger in many respects, because I think by then there were more people from further afield coming together in Milan for that.
Yeah,
it was huge. It was just amazing. Such a great event. Let's hope we get more events like that. I mean, there are many of us that travel around and see each other at shows, but something like the 119 show, like Home Alive, that can bring people together. Let's keep our fingers crossed for something in 26, celebrating 20 years of Karma Code or something. I don't know. I'm not heard anything, but you never know. They might do something. We'll see. I mean,
that would be a likely album for them to do a complete playthrough, wouldn't it?
I think it would be, because let's face it, they played pretty. I think they played all the songs off there anyway.
They've done it before, haven't they?
Metal Female Voices Fest. I always get that around the wrong way. The Belgium Female Voices Metal Fest.
Yeah, you went, didn't you?
I went, but not to that one. I went to the year before.
Okay.
I went to the year before. I didn't go to the one because I was like, oh no, I want to see all of Karma go live. But hopefully they'll do that. That'll be really, really cool. Because again, we've said it a few times on the podcast, but Karma Code for me is definitely a live album, isn't it? It's a good album, but when you hear it live, the songs come out, it's punchier, the lyrics are simpler, it's got the kind of live energy. It could be argued that the earlier albums from the band, even as far as Comalize, are not live songs, they're album songs. Whereas it was a distinctive switch, and they even admitted this, that it was they wanted to create songs for the album that are fun to play live, and it feels that way, right? You know, I remember the first time I heard Fragments of Faith live, and it's like live, and I was like, oh my god, there's such a different energy.
Yeah, like Fragile.
Yeah, and Fragile, and and To the Edge, and you know, like the boom, 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 boom.
Oh, incredible.
Love it. Anyway, so how many times have you seen the band, Lee?
Well, if you were to count the first time that I missed them.
You heard a song, that does count.
Yeah, it does count.
Well, if that counts, 30.
Nice, that is a good number. That's a really 30. Good number. You should be very proud of that.
I'm glad. I think... I had seen Mike in New York, and I was like, "This is show 30."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in April, wasn't it? In Brooklyn, and then we went to the Duffs.
Yes, that was fun.
Yeah.
That was a blast. That was a good show too. They played 9 songs.
Yeah, pretty good for May. They weren't main. Were they?
They were second on, weren't they? Yeah. After Unearth.
So was it then In Flames and then them? Is that right? Am I
thinking
the right one? Yeah. But by then you were already in a cab to Duff's.
I think I watched one song of In Flames and then left.
We left about the same time.
Yeah. And then got to Duff's and it was empty, which is good, because if you don't go when it's empty, it's...
A nightmare, quite frankly. Yeah. Yes. You end up staying outside because you... I always find that the layout of Duff's is just it's like the bar's right by the door, so if anybody getting a drink is clogging up, getting
completely
back,
the wrong place.
It's all wrong.
Which
is why you just end, and it gets really hot, which is why you just end up hanging out outside in the street, right?
Or drink more beer and keep drinking more beer. Cool me down.
Drink more beer. So, I feel like we could be talking all evening about every subject under the sun. But I'm gonna bring our interview to a bit of a close. Hope you don't mind. We'll end with a question. What does being a Lacuna Core fan mean to you, Lee?
What does it mean to me? Well, I love the band. I mean, right.
Comes in the territory, but I'll give you that for free.
That's like the main idea. But I also I've met so many awesome people, including you guys.
Thank you.
We all share the same love of this band. Mm. And music brings people together so much. I mean, we've got Twitch, which I don't get to get on there as much as I used to. With work, In the Meantime kind of felt like a theme song for me. If you've, with the video, it's like you have the dude, he's going to work and he's just like, oh, I don't do anything else, So, I mean, that was a song that was really hit hard for me. But anyway, I digress. Meeting people all over the world has been a staple as well. Lacuna Coil, they've been the band that they're on my Spotify alarm. Every morning I wake up and listen to them, and they get me going. They get me going. Like I said, I was a GM for four restaurants. I'm an assistant now, but there's been days I'm like, oh my God, I'm so tired. I'm so stressed out. And I would just, put on Beneficium.
Of
That's
course.
always been a good one to start the day. I could put them on and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go out here and I'm gonna conquer this day. I'm gonna go out here and I'm gonna do the thing. All the bullshit aside, all of that. And I mean they help me through life, and I know they've done the same for many other people.
Yeah, they have.
You
They
know,
have.
that they are all super cool people.
They are.
You know, you've got Christina, who is just a little sweet metal badass, and I mean she's so sweet, but she gets on stage and she's just fierce.
She grows
She's
about 10
fierce.
feet, doesn't she? She really does,
Yeah,
doesn't she?
she does. She
She really
does.
does.
Yeah,
A
you have her.
towering
You got,
presence.
yeah, you got Maki, who he's wonderful. I mean, oh, Captain Maki. I mean, he writes great riffs for sure. For sure.
And he's always a
Yeah,
presence,
we
right? He's always at the center of every conversation that anybody ever has. It's always,
yeah.
he's holding court wherever he goes, isn't he? So.
Yeah, Andy, I haven't had as many conversations with Andy. Every time I have a conversation with him, it's like really deep. You know what I mean? It'll be something that's really deep, and then he might be somewhere else for a second, and but anytime he does talk about something, it's
Oh,
pretty profound to
yeah,
me. You know what I
absolutely.
mean? Is that just my perception?
No,
But
once you get him started,
it,
he absolutely, he holds his
meaningful.
own counsel, does Andy. But
That makes sense.
once you start, then you'll absolutely get a view. I don't remember having a conversation with Andy where he hasn't insulted me, but I'm used to that by now. but yeah, he's a
That
conversation, yeah.
that's love. That's love right there, man.
I guess it is, yeah.
That is love. And Richard, he's so sweet. I get a Zia from him all the time. And Daniele, is that how you say his name?
Danny.
Yeah, I got to meet him.
He's a lovely guy, really down
And
to earth.
yeah. I
Very
know I'm like going on the bunny trail a little bit, but I just
good.
wanted to, put that out there before the interview, is over with that
It's
part.
kind of over
So
when you say it's over, really. You know, I ask you a question, you can just let that
yeah.
roll for as long as you want.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, there's so much to say about them and how they're just wonderful people and make great music, and they're a part of all of our lives. So
It feels
I
like
appreciate them.
a crazy privilege, doesn't it, being a fan of this band? It's like it's almost like you get a two for one deal, right? You know, you get great music, but you also get a great relationship as well. Like
Yeah,
you can
a
like you
twofer.
can yeah, a twofer, right? You can
Yeah.
there's so many bands that I really love. You know, I love their music. But any kind of relationship doesn't feel even possible, likely, and I don't really maybe you don't even connect with their lifestyle. But with Lacuna Coil,
Yeah.
if you're a part of the community, then it feels like you're getting a twofer, or maybe even a threefer, because you're getting a great community, you're getting the
Yeah.
opportunity to meet really cool, down to earth, humble people that care
Yeah.
about what you think about them. And of course, you've got the music just as a sort of the beautiful cherry on the cake, as it were.
That's
Maybe
beautifully said.
the.
It's true. It's true. I agree completely. But yeah, I guess that's about it.
Sorry, one thing that struck me when you were describing what they meant to you, it came across when you were saying they got you going and they helped you to keep going.
Yes.
Are you just describing caffeine? So Lacuna Coil are basically caffeine replacement.
Yes, because I can't drink a lot of caffeine. I mean, blood pressure medicine, all that bullshit. But yeah, they're basically medication. True. I mean, it is.
Yeah, they are. Medication for the Soul, the Pinnacle. There we
Yes,
go.
totally.
That's the name of their new album, by the way. I've made it up. I've decided it now. Medication for the Soul. I haven't
If
told
it
them.
is, this is going to be so
I
good.
haven't told them yet, but I will be. Don't worry. I will be. Right, anyway, it brings us to a closing interview. We are about to review Scarecrow, Lee. Now, it will be
Okay.
an absolute delight if you would stay. You don't have to stay, no pressure, but if you want to stay and give us your views on Scarecrow from Sleepless Empire. We
No,
won't. We
I
won't.
totally would.
Okay, well, let's do this then. Well,
Yeah.
before we do that, thank you again. I'm sure I'll be saying thank you at least one more time, but it's been an
Thank you
absolute
too.
privilege you coming and joining us on the podcast. I mean, it's felt long overdue, right? There are friends across the world you kind of go, when are we going to go out for a beer? And a virtual one is what we're having to deal with, or what we're having to put up with right now. But I'm sure we'll find time in the future to make it a the clink clink of bottles or glasses or whatever, and we'll share a beer. But for now, thank you again for joining us. Really
Yeah,
appreciate it.
thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's good to see you guys again too.
Yeah.
For sure.
Great.
Stand here like a scarecrow. Right, well, I guess that brings us on to our review for this episode of the Empty Spiral podcast. We are slowly crawling our way like a big track from the 1980s, Dave, across the living room. That is the Sleepless Empire album. And we've made our way as far as Scarecrow. I think I'm going to sort of pick and pick. Dave, you can start us on Scarecrow. Tell us what you think of Scarecrow.
Scarecrow. Right. Right from the off, this gave me some of the Dark Adrenaline vibes. And even Shallow Life as well. Basically because it was a bit more, it's got this bounciness to it. It's kind of bouncy and punchy. So it did spark of those that kind of era of albums where they went through I think bouncy kind of summarizes it quite well in my mind. There's the harder edge of Andy's voice, which is a bit more delirium. So it's already quite a mix of different elements, different eras that seem to be piecing together. And Christina's vocals, again, that's kind of where it highlights the Shallow Life and a bit of Dark Adrenaline more so from her point. It's kind of like a fuzzy effect on her vocals, I found.
Okay. Sure, you don't need new headphones.
It could be, yeah, it could old man hearing probably, but no, it just seemed that little kind of an effect on it, that not distorted, but yeah, a little fuzziness
Okay.
that wasn't as clear as some of the other tracks. The vocal split itself, I think it seems a bit more collaborative than others.
More
Quite
balanced.
often, no, just differently paced. A lot of the other songs are very much call and response in terms of, verse chorus,
Yes,
that kind of
that's
thing.
true. That is true.
This one seems, I don't know, just differently split. And again, which makes it kind of stand out from normal fare. It's yeah, very much in their current sound, for this era. But there are those kind of little elements that give it a separate identity, so it doesn't get lost as like, just another track. But I think it's built its own identity for this particular song. Rapid fire drumming, that was one thing that kind of leapt out. Quite machine gun. The guitar work is perhaps where I'd say it loses points, if that's a
Not
kind way of saying it. I
particularly
don't want to say
sophisticated.
pedestrian.
Yeah, but it's not sophisticated, is it? There's no
No,
there's no extreme guitar solos in this or anything like that.
there's no particular flair. So it's basic. It sounds really cruel saying
That's
this, doesn't it? But that's what I hear.
okay.
It's a
Yeah,
basic backbone.
I get that. I get that for sure.
No, I think the thing that leaps out more to me is the lyrics, which mm-hmm.
I was waiting for you to come to them.
Really,
I was
hoping
you would. Yeah.
Really do connect with. They spark off a character who's basically not a sheeple, you know, is they understand or realize that they're not normal. They don't fit into what is considered the norm of society or what's expected of them.
Yeah.
And find it a bit frustrating living that life and trying to fit in. But it is sticking to those, to their morals, to their principles, to their personality, and just saying, well, yeah, okay, I'm not normal. That's fine. I don't want to try and bend myself to fit in to everyone else's expectations. I am me. And if no one appreciates that, or if I don't get recognized for being me, that's fine. It doesn't matter. You know, I fly under the radar. I don't need to be some great personality. I don't need to be noticed. I'm just me.
Yeah.
And I really, really, really do like that.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Mike, what are your thoughts on Scarecrow?
Pretty much what Dave just said. For me, it goes back when you mentioned in earlier albums for the vocal arrangements of Andrea. It even reminds me as far back as Half-Life with some of it. If you're an older, old school fan that's been around for a long time. Lyrically, it's, as Dave's just mentioned, you're someone potentially in the shadows, but you're your own unique individual self. So as it says, I'm a freak of nature and I don't want to belong. So you're not conforming with the pigeonhole of society and their expectations, and you are your lone scarecrow in the shadows. And that's what works well. For me, it's strange as well for the start, whereas it's like this pulsating thing about to build up and then bang, and it goes off completely the opposite tangent of what you think the song is about to do, which I think works very well in some ways, but not to everybody's
liking. I don't like it. I struggle with it, but I'll come on to that in a minute.
Do you know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah.
Proper curveball with it. And as you mentioned, the guitar work is the bit that's the weaker part of it. The rest of it is a typical Lacuna Coal pedestrian, in a very good way, bouncy, as Dave mentioned, song.
I'm not sure I agree with the point about it being pedestrian.
In a good way, though.
Your pedestrians must run quite quickly, quite frankly.
Yeah. And the only thing I said at the end was potentially a video for this would work very well if they came onto that. Yes, in black and white.
Well, it'll be black and white video of us standing in a field. Yeah.
And I hope they do it live on the new tour. That would be...
Have they played this live yet?
No.
Fuck me, they better play this live, because this is going to be amazing live.
And very, very heavy.
No, but I just think the pace and the lyrics and back to Dave's point about the back and forth, that, you know, the sharing of the vocal lines between Angie and Christina, it will be really good, really dynamic.
It's not in verse, is it?
No,
it's
there's like, some good sing-along bits as well.
Yeah.
You know, you could almost see them playing this one out a bit like, Do You Love Me Because I Hate You kind of thing, you know, where Andy would be sitting on the chair and she'd be walking around him and stuff. You can see something like that. I'm really making a song of this, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Really making a performance of this.
So. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Lee, what about you? What are your thoughts on Scarecrow?
Well, right when I first heard it, you know, you have the intro that comes in, and at first I was like, okay, we're about to get some industrial kind of goth, something that you could almost hear in a club or something for a second, and just, sure, you know, standing like a scarecrow, then it just, the tempo changes a little bit,
completely.
You know, but then you've got a layer of like a whoo kind of behind it, which, I mean, it sounds kind of haunting. I mean, I like it, but my favorite part is right before the bridge and then the bridge.
I think I know the bit you mean.
because it's just like and
Yeah.
just bam. Sometimes I
I
just
feel
feel
a
a bit
little
small.
lonely. Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
Just
she that's what I'm saying. She
yeah.
bringing the
Hollow ass,
soul.
yeah, which is every passing day. Yeah, that one. Yeah, that's I love that.
Yes,
Exactly my favorite part of that song. Kind of
that
raises
I
it
was
up.
driving to work one day and I was like, I'm gonna listen to this because I mean it had came out and I didn't get a chance to just sit down and listen. So I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna listen to it in my car because I drive a lot. My commute back and forth to work is an hour every day.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, gonna do this. And I was actually passing a field, like a
Right there.
cornfield,
They're like
when I
crows
heard it. I was
flying
like,
themselves
this
over the
is
side of the car then.
cool.
Yeah.
But
Like a Stephen King novel.
it's exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, the bridge, there's so much soul in it. Yeah, just letting the judgmental storm all over me. Whatever she says right there, but I'll have to listen to it again. But it's cool at the end of it too. And it kind of brings it back to, what Dave was saying about it being split, I think, because it takes lyrics from, I guess you would call it a pre-bridge of where, Andy was singing parts
And yeah,
of it.
we are
And
flukes of nature, doing that kind of
don't want, yeah,
yeah.
eternal
I was
shadows.
gonna say, we project
But
eternal shadows. Any
that's it.
song that's got the words "we project eternal shadows" is gonna get a tick from me.
Yes, I love it. I love it. And like at the end, it's got pieces of that, and then it brings back pieces of the vocals from the bridge,
Yes.
and they kind of ping pong back and forth at the end of it. So I mean, it's kind of split like that too. But yeah, that bridge though,
To carry where I was
that's
saying it
good
carries the
stuff.
song, but it's definitely there, definitely one of
Oh,
my
that's good
mates.
stuff.
I have to say, so I alluded to this already. I really struggle with those first 6, 7 seconds of this song because I don't dislike it, but I once the song kicks off, I struggle to understand its relevancy as part of the song. It's not even if they come back to that at the end, in a classic kind of cyclical theme, they bring that back. I can't understand thematically where those boom, 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 right at the beginning, and then you know, like a scarecrow, and then you get what feels like a very different song. But that's 6 or 7 seconds of a whatever it is, 3, 4 minute song. The rest of it, I love. I love. I don't notice, just on your point about the guitars, I don't really notice them. And I'm not really for one for noticing detail like that anyway. But the reason I don't is because this is not a song about music. This is a song about vocal lines. And because the lyrics in this song, I think, are some of the best lyrics they've written down for a while, they've sung for a while. I love them. I think, like, thematic, what a great theme. Thematically, we are scarecrows, right? Standing in the sun. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're protecting eternal shadows until the day is over our fields. Aren't we all scared? It's just like one amazing concept to talk about the strength that you've already gone through, Dave, right? We're going to stand firm. There's crows flying above us. There's storms. We won't bend. We won't break. Brilliant. Just brilliant. Simple, simple idea. And yet that entire song, it's filled with really, really kind of earworm level lyrics, right? Brilliantly executed by Christina and Andrea in a back and forth, which is in that classic Lacuna Coil sound, which I absolutely adore, right? Lyrically, that's why I love this band. Yeah. Yes, I love songs that Andrea sings and songs that obviously you get more that Christina sings, and they're all really good songs. I get it, but together is where their strength is. Hearing that classic Beauty and the Beast lyric, whether it's in House of Shame, right, Lee, or whether it's
Yeah.
here, that's where the power of their vocals are. And I think when you said it was democratic, I think that's what you said, Dave. I think that's a really good way of putting it, because it does share the lyric, the vocal line really, really well, and it's back and forth and so forth. I think it's great. I won't repeat what you said about the bridge, because it's great. Well, that kind of, as you say, that pre-bridge, was it? I don't know when it is. I'm not that
Yeah.
clever, but that bit where you get the it starts with, but sometimes I feel a little lonely, and it's really kind of choppy, boom, 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 kind of thing for six or seven lines. Do you know what, Dave? When you said, what did you say, Shallow Life, Dark Adrenaline? I had written down Shallow Life, Delirium. And
Andy's vocal certainly more delirium because of the style,
but that I still don't think that Shadow Life gets enough credit, quite frankly. There are lots of aspects of this which remind me of songs from that era. Okay, I think if you were to listen to Scarecrow and then go back to listen to Shallow Life, there will be a familiarity there. Okay. You wouldn't have the growl vocal lines because you didn't get that at the time. The beat was a bit rockier, but there was a certain pace in the songs that you would see, I think, very similar to the kind of pace we saw here.
Yeah, if Andy re-recorded something like I'm Not Afraid in his in a Delirium style now, and then put that side by side with Scarecrow, I think it'd be like a pretty good pairing.
But yeah, I mean, I this is way up there. This is way up there for me. This is way out there. Dave, what would you give Scarecrow out of 10?
I split this decision in two. So musically...
You mean out of 10. That's the split. A number and then out of 10.
I'll give you an out of 10, but I'll have to give you the reasons why.
Yeah, of course.
Because so it's musically, it was a 6. Lyrically, a 9, possibly even a 10. Okay. So overall, we'll give it an 8.
Okay. I like it. I like your style. Okay, I've not done that for mine, but you know, you clearly have a little bit more focus on the music, and you had things to say there. Mike, what about you? What's your score?
Strong eight.
Okay, cool. Lee, what about you? What's your scores out of 10 for Scarecrow?
I think about an 8 as well. The music, I really like the music in it. I think the drop of the heaviness in the, like I said, the bridge. I love the bridge. Just go back and listen to how low it gets. I'm a bass girl, so I mean, it just the riff of that is just great. That's my favorite part to it. The lyrics are strong, but yeah, I'll go with the 8 as well.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm going to be the odd one out. I've given this a 9. It's a 9 out of 10. I think this is a real earworm. I think it's greater than the sum of its parts, but the sum of its the individual parts are great. It's one of the songs I probably listen to the most on the album. I keep coming back to this one. If I want to drop in and listen to a couple, it's almost always includes Scarecrow. I'm a big fan of this song. And for that, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. All right. So 3/8 and a 9. That's pretty good, right? Pretty good. That is Scarecrow. Wow. We are making our way slowly through the album. We'll get there. Hopefully we'll finish it before the next album comes out. We are pretty much done today on the Empty Spiral podcast. Thank you, Lee, for joining us. Thank you for staying for our review. Thank you for landing us an epic and unique moment those years ago at Masquerade where you stepped up. You stepped up, girl. You stepped up. Right. And you delivered a unique performance for us. All the rest of us that were fortunate enough to catch it on YouTube, even though we weren't fortunate enough to be there at the time. Just to both celebrate and praise your courage for getting up there and replacing Andrea. So good job. High five, fist pump, and all of that other stuff. Yeah. Boom. But equally importantly, because we weren't there, so this is more important to us. Thank you so much for joining us on.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
And yes. Sure.
It's been fun.
Yeah, it has been fun. And you'll pop along some other time. Just knock on the door, step in. Okay. You're always welcome, my friend. You're always welcome.
Oh, I would love to.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll sign you up. Job done. Right.
All right.
It is time we bring this to a close, though. As much as I have my regrets, to name a few, I'm not going to start singing My Way, just in case anybody thought I might be. But we are going to bring this to a close. If you want to be on the podcast and reach out to us on any one of the socials, Instagram, Facebook, We're on Blue Sky as well. We're not on X anymore for reasons, and you know them already. But yeah, reach out to us, put a message on our Discord server, just say hi, and you could be part of this, and we can learn all about your Lacuna Core experience. And if you want to like us on iTunes, then yeah, we won't stop you. We won't stop you. You know, it's always good to get a like or a little comment or review. That does make a difference. And I ask nothing more of you really than to stop listening to us and go off and listen to more Lacuna Coil. And I'll bid you good day.
Cheers, everyone.
Cheerio.
Later, guys.